According to Paul, right here in Galatians 5:17, New Living Translation. The sinful nature, the sinful nature, the sinful nature. Everybody say the sinful nature. Come on, say it louder. Come on. The sinful nature wants to do evil. That's what it wants to do, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. So these two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. And this letter was written to Christians. It wasn't written to heathens. Of course, you know that all the books of the New Testament were never written to the world. They were written to the church. All of them. Never written to the world. It was written to the church. The only message that God gave the world is the gospel. The rest of it is to the church. So right here, it's telling the church that your good intentions is not enough, because there is an opposing force that would not want you to do what you want to do. You intend to do this, but there is something that comes to challenge it. And Paul shares his own frustrating experience because of this reality. In Romans chapter 7, verse 18, he says, "And I know that nothing good lives in me. I know that nothing good lives in me." That is in my sinful nature. It's talking about this sinful nature we all carry around. I want to do what is right, but I can't. So good intentions is not just enough. Paul calls it a reality of life, a principle that all of us experience. Romans 7:21. He said, "I've discovered this principle of life. I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong." So this is a principle of life. And he said, "I love God's law with all my heart," that's verse 22, "with all my heart," 23, "but there is another power. There's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me." 24. "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Now, Paul, the Lord is a very good communicator. So he explains these things to us, that the whole world really is in groaning under this power of sin, under this iniquity that is right here on earth. And you know it's a fact, because all you need to do is to read the newspaper or listen to the news. You see tragedy everywhere. You see people just wake up in the morning, all of a sudden they become widows because one crazy person shot this person and shot this person. How can somebody go into a church and shoot up people? How can anybody go into a school and shoot up beautiful young children that we all love? Did nothing to them, absolutely nothing. And then, you know, these days and time, the police, American police, they don't know how to measure the amount of marijuana people have now. They used to measure alcohol. But this one, they have nothing to measure it with. So now a lot of people smoke, what they call it? Eh? Igbo, that's what we call it. A lot of people smoke, let's call it what it is, Igbo. They smoke weed. They call it medical. No, it's medical Igbo. Ahia. That's what it is. And people smoke it all over now. So you don't know the driver. I've seen two drivers driving against the traffic and didn't even see traffic coming. Only 2 days ago, I saw another one. Freeway was going opposite the freeway. Didn't even see the traffic. This world is groaning on, and in wars upon wars and destruction all over the place. This world is really groaning under iniquity and under sinful things that's happening. And so Paul is talking about it. Even we Christians in Romans chapter 7, verse 25. Sorry. Romans 8:33. "And we believers also groan." We believers also groan. We groan because you do some things, it pains you, you did it. You say some things, you regret you said it. We groan, unless you are really not a serious Christian. We do groan. He said, we believers also groan, all of us. Even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he promised us. Until then, we groan here. People will hurt you. You will hurt people. People will say things that will really pain you and break your heart. Circumstances will break your heart. Things will happen that make us groan. It's all coming from imperfections of this world. And so we're all subject to all of these things that's happening around us. And we do things too. We do things that we regret. We do things that we wish we didn't, we shouldn't have done. So Paul is saying that until we have this new nature that Christ, the new flesh that Christ promised us, that we are here growing in under the effect of iniquity that is in the world where we live. But it's not a hopeless thing. Can I hear amen? It's not a hopeless thing, brethren. God came for the rescue. Remember that God created us. He said, I know that you are dust. So in Romans 8:33, Romans 7:25. Romans 7:25. The answer is right there. Romans 7:25, New Living Translation. Thank God. Everybody say thank God. Come on, say it louder. Thank God. The answer is where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Can we say it together again? The answer is. Let's say it one more time. The answer is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to Christ. But Jesus came and solved this problem. And I want to emphasize here, my brothers and sisters, please listen to me. The answer is not in you, and it's not in me. We were not presented as answers. None of us is the answer. It's not in what you do. It's not in what I do. None of us. So it's not about us. The answer is exclusively in Jesus Christ our Lord. And why do we need to pay attention to these things? It's because the life of the flesh. Remember, I don't use the word sin a lot, because to the Christian, sin is only adultery and fornication. So we excuse every other thing. No, I'm talking about the flesh, because the flesh is encompassing everything that is evil. The life of the flesh is something that the Christian must know the adverse effect it has on him, so that he becomes very committed and engaged in dealing with his flesh. I was saying on Thursday that unfortunately, many people come to churches just to fulfill all righteousness. They are not engaged. They are not really interested in what God is saying. They just want to be church goers so that the day they do marriage, people will come. Yes, now. So the day their daughter is marrying, all their group people will dance and wear gele and come. Many people go to church just for that. It's a pity, but that's true. How can you explain that an adult buys the child computer game to be playing during service? What kind of parent is that? What kind of parent is that? Do you buy your child that in church, in school? But in the house of God, you are training your child that God is nothing. And when he grows and becomes a wahala for you, you start praying like a house of fire. But you are the one that played that foundation, telling the child to disregard God. If you disregard God, where is your solution? People come to church, you know, share with the me. I don't go for a square shot. Yeah, me too, more our own now. Wow, God day now, God day. Just, but it's a tragedy. It shouldn't be so. Look. If you want to eat a toad, eat what? Yes, if you don't want to be a Christian, please stop. If you want to be a Christian, go all out and get all the benefits. All this in between something, and you get nothing either. You are neither here or there. It's just waste of time. So, but if you really want to be a Christian, you should be engaged and listen. Because the word of God is what helps you. It's what really helps you out. It really helps you out. So the Bible warns us about the life of the flesh, what it does to the Christian. Now, you may be interested in knowing, or you may not be interested. It's all your choice. But my job is to preach it as the Lord gave it to me. This life of the flesh, it defies people. Jesus said it defies. And it degrades a Christian. It brings shameful effect, unprofitable effect, exposes the Christian to demonic motivations and attack. This will be sufficient to make a Christian say, listen, this is not going to work in my life. Look at the scripture in Romans 8:13. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. You shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, of the body, you shall live. If you live after the flesh, you shall surely die. You are going to be cut off in fellowship with God. That's what it means. It means you are going to be lukewarm. The things of God will be distant for you because you are not really involved with it. Do you know that relationship is built on communication and companionship? Every husband and wife knows that. Am I right? Nobody is saying anything. Or is your mother-in-law visiting? Every husband and wife knows that for your marriage to succeed, there needs to be communication and companionship. There needs to be communication and fellowship. Fellowship is not sitting together in church. Fellowship is not sitting together in the house. I can sit here with you and not have fellowship, sir. No. Fellowship is our heart knit together in sincerity, joining together and sharing together. You can sit here and I don't want to sit next to you. And then the ushers tell me to move, I move, but in my heart I'm grumbling. That's not fellowship. So what I'm talking about is every relationship grows when there is intimacy in that is built in communication and fellowship. Now, when you walk with the flesh, you distance yourself from God. You distance yourself from God. Do you know the bottomless pit the Bible talks about that people are going to fall into? It's a continuous distancing from God forever. Continuous distancing from God forever. And so when the Bible says if you follow the flesh, you shall die, because God is the Spirit, the flesh is not flesh, God is not flesh. So you are distancing yourself from God. And the more you do that, the more the things of God recede from you, become less important, you forget them, you know, the thing just don't matter. It doesn't matter to you anymore. But you caused it because you walked away by following the flesh. It was your decision. And so you can become lukewarm, you can become, you know, I mean, come on, you come to church, you're looking at your time. But when you go and watch Nigerian movie, you don't look at your time. Because those are the things that interest you. Whatever you value, you invest in. Can I hear amen? So look at Romans 6:15. Romans 6:15 says, well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize, my brother and my sister, my fellow Christians, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin again. A Christian can be a slave to sin again. You can be a slave to gossip. There are people whose mouth will not close. Once they wake up, they start gossiping until they sleep. You can be a slave to anything. A Christian can be a slave to anything. The Bible says, whatever you choose to obey enslaves you. If you give yourself to the flesh, you become a slave to your flesh. Slavery is not right. Slavery is, even in human society, slavery is not right. A slave has no choice. You begin to do that thing compulsively. You don't have control anymore. That's what following the flesh will lead a Christian to. And then look at Romans 6:19. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourself be slaves to impurity and lawlessness previously, which led ever deeper into sin. When you continue in following the flesh, you get deeper. Practice now makes perfect. You keep practicing it, it takes over your life. And then it defies a Christian. 2 Peter 2:19. It defies a Christian. 2 Peter 2:19. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave of whatever controls you. This is Peter writing verse 20. 2 Peter 2:20. And when people escape from the wickedness of the world, when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing who? Our Lord and Savior Jesus. And then what happens? Get tangled up and what again? Enslaved by sin again. What happens? They are worse off than before. Continue. It would be better if they had never known the way of righteousness than to know it and then reject the command they were given to live a holy life. Verse 22. They prove the truth of this proverb. See, you see why Jesus said this thing defies the man. Look at it right here. The truth of this proverb, a dog returns to what? I didn't hear you. A dog returns to what? His vomit. And another says, a washed pig returns to the mud. That's why Jesus said, this thing defiled the man. It's like returning to a pool, returning to a vomit, something that you vomited. You go and start licking the vomit. That's exactly what the Spirit of God is illustrating this to look like. And he said, a washed pig returns to the mud again. And that's exactly what it does to us as Christians. Again, the Bible says these things don't pay any dividend at all. The flesh will profit us nothing. And then it brings you smack into the region of the demonic world. Because they are the prince of power of darkness. There are people, these demons that rule in those areas. Romans 13:12. Romans 13:12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of what? Darkness. Remember the prince of darkness. It's demons. The works of darkness. When you get involved with the works of darkness, then you are going to expose yourself to the prince of darkness. And then he said, let us now put the armor of light. Let's put on the armor of light. Can I tell us one beautiful thing about doing good? The Bible says you overcome evil with what? Good. But when you now become the evil itself, you don't have any weapon. Because the good that you use, the light that you use, the light that shines in darkness, you have turned your life into darkness. So what are you shining? What are you shining? So when a Christian knows these things, it is important for us to listen to things like this so that we make sure that the flesh is not controlling us in our lives. And it will keep you a spiritual baby, immature, and then not very useful in the hand of God. I don't see myself, even though my grandson went to my chair and sat there, and they were calling him Pastor Emmanuel, and he was answering. But I can't bring him up here now and say, Pastor, preach to us. No matter what he does. If I still have, somebody sent me the video where he sat there, crossed his leg, and was rolling on my chair. And all these children, I said, Pastor Chinedu Emmanuel. He said, yeah. In fact, I was planning baptism too. But I can't bring him here. I can't, because he's a baby. But if he matures and grows and the Lord wants him to be, then he begins to preach like the grandfather. I can't bring him here. An immature Christian, a baby Christian is like that. No matter what you proclaim and claim, God will not use you because you're a baby. The Bible says when you purge yourself, you become a vessel of honor that God will use. Otherwise, God will use you for things that are minor. There are things that at this age he can do for me. There are things he can do. He can come and say, hey, can you pick this? He will pick those things. That's what his age, he can do at his age. Then my smaller angel, the last one, that is my boss, comes. I don't know whether I'm the one telling her what to do or she's the one telling me. But at that small age where she is, there's limited something she can do for me. Right now, she depends totally on grandpa and parents. I love to say it depends on me because I love men. If I knew that grandchildren this awesome, I would have had them before I had my children. They are so awesome. I would have had my grandchildren first before having my children. Grandchildren are awesome. Oh, wow. My little girl, my little angels. You know. When, sometimes we come to church, we don't greet. When she sees me, I do. So we're doing like this. Then after service, see my little girl running from there towards grandpa with all her hands up. Before, we were doing like this. So, and I don't know what I did, but okay, something else. What I'm saying is, when you follow the flesh, you are spiritually immature. That's what it means. Listen, as a husband, you'll be immature. I'm not kidding you. As a wife, you'll be... When you talk, like people wonder whether... Go and not grow up. You talk like a kid, act like a kid, get angry where you shouldn't. Just spoil things. I'm telling you, you go to where you walk, you're not matured. You can't hold yourself. You don't bite your word before you release them. You are controlled by emotions and stuff like this. It's really serious immaturity. And when immature parents bring up children, they bring up immature children. Because like begets what? Like. That's why I have a lot of marriage problems, there are marriage issues, because people are not growing spiritually. When you grow spiritually, you will learn to use good to overcome evil. Every marriage have issues, families have issues. But when people have matured, they act maturely. They act maturely. They don't go out right talking about their wife and talking about... I asked one young man who was telling me about the wife. I said, sir, can I ask you a question? I said, will you like somebody to undress your wife? He said, no. I said, but you are doing it before me. I said, you're undressing your wife before me. I don't want to see her nakedness. Cover her up. I said, it is lack of wisdom. I don't care what she does. Your job is to cover her up. Dress her up. Dress her up. Don't come and be telling me all her weaknesses and all. You are insulting her and insulting yourself. It's lack of maturity. Total lack of maturity. When we grow spiritually, but Paul said, when I was a child, I did what? The childish. He said, but now that I've left all the childish things behind. We should leave childish things behind. Because then when you act spiritually mature, you make childish choices. And they affect you directly. Totally affect you. So you see that following the flesh is not something any Christian wants to follow. But Paul told us that the answer is in Jesus Christ. The answer is in Jesus Christ. Can I hear amen? So Jesus Christ came and set us free. He set us free from the power, from all this flesh thing. He set us free from their control. So we are no more helpless. We are not helpless at all. We are not. In 1 John 5, 4. Sorry, before then, Hebrew 11:6. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, since Jesus is the answer, then my own response is to have complete faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in me. Not in me. The arm of the flesh we fell. Is to have complete faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is that faith in Christ that pleases God, because that is the faith that makes the power of God work on behalf of anybody. And so in 1 John 5, 4, now let's go to 1 John 5, 4. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. First John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's if you're born of the Lord Jesus, if you are born of God, if you are born again, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Then who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. If you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you overcome the world. You overcome it. He will overcome it for you. That's what we were thanking him for. He overcame the world for us. He overcame the devil for us. He's still doing that. He's still doing that in the life of everybody that trusts in him and that believes in him. Can I hear amen? Now listen, like a tree and a branch. You know that a branch cannot bear fruit on its own. If you cut off a branch, what happens to the branch? It dies. So no branch can come and say, cut me off, I can survive. No, you can't survive. The only reason a branch will bear fruit is because it's connected to the stem. And the only reason you can bear that life of Christ is because you are connected to Jesus. He said, I am the good, is the vine, and we are the branches. So the same way a branch cannot survive, not let alone bearing fruit, the same way a Christian can't survive spiritually, let alone bearing fruit, let alone overcoming anything, except with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul told us the same thing. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by doing what? Trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. Then he explained it further in Philippians 3:3. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. We rely on what Christ Jesus what has done for us. He says, I live by faith in the Son of God. He explained it here. I rely on what Christ Jesus has done for me. I trust what he's done for me. He delivered me from the old life of sin. He's the power that works in me. He's the one that set me free and keeps me free. If you trust in him, you will never be put to shame. You can't rely on yourself. You are not the answer. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you believe that, you will be saying so. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, the scripture says something very amazing. The Lord was showing me this thing in the night. I never ever saw that. Never. I read this and I never saw that. He brought me back. He said, do you know Jesus Christ is the high priest of your confession? I said, Lord, what does it mean? He said this in the Bible. He said, what to say is important. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, didn't you read in the book of the scripture says that the prayers of saints come to God as a sweet-smelling, as a smoke. He breathes it, and the angels, you know, put it in a vial, and it comes. He said, it comes to the altar where Jesus is ministering. And because of his blood, somebody shout hallelujah. Because of his blood, he's the high priest of your confession. He said, isn't prayer what you say? I say, it's what you say. He said, sacrifice or praise, is it not what you say? I say, it's what you say. He said, the same way, what you confess is what you say. He said, those words are what comes up there. If it's word of faith, it pleases me. And when it pleases me, if you read the book of Revelation, he said, when it pleases God, God throws power down back to the earth. And describing what that power can do, and that's the answer. That's the answer. That's the power that brings that word to work for you. I don't have time because of my time is up. Maybe next time I'll go to this and show it to you in details. So you know the importance of saying what God said about you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Bible says because we have the spirit of faith, we say it. Say it. Jesus is the high priest of that confession. He is the high priest of that confession. It comes up to the altar of God. Like your prayer comes up to the altar of God. Like your praise comes up to the altar of God. Even your confession also comes up there. And he superintends all of it as your great high priest. But if it is the words of faith, it pleases God and brings something back for you. Can I hear amen? Even the scripture says that our life in Christ comes up to God also as a sweet-smelling savour, as a perfume that he loves to hear. And faith, please, faith is the perfume that God loves. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ and say what he says, and say it exactly what he says, exactly the way he says it, it comes up to God. It's acceptable to God. And Jesus pretends over it in the presence of God on your behalf. And when he's pretending, right, because he says, if you deny me before, if you deny me and my word, I will also do what? Deny you before the Father. But when you don't deny him, say, no, Jesus made me a new creature. I have a new life. He cut off the power of sin. Sin shall no more dominate me. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. They are not denying him. Then he's confessing you to him before the Father. He's ministering before the Father, and the thing is coming up before the Father, and he's pretending about it. And God is saying, wow, this is awesome. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. If you get what I'm saying, shout hallelujah. I don't have time. I need to stop because my time is over. I have so many scriptures I would have shared with you that would have made you realize that it's important to confess the word of God in prayer, in worship, even daily to yourself. Because really, really, when you do that, it comes up to God and Jesus ministers to God with what you say and the power comes back to cause that word to happen for you. Can I hear amen? I said, can I hear amen? I said, can I hear amen? Can we bow our heads to pray? Honey, can you come?